Hello and welcome back to China Clean Tech, Shangtai Chuangxin. My name is Marilyn Wait, Wei Ma Li, and I'm joined by my co-hosts,
Andrew Chang, Zhang Tianlong. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Today, we are pleased to have Dr. Alpha Wang, founder and CEO of TerraQuanta, Dadi Liangzi. Alpha graduated from Shanghai Jiao Tong University in electrical and computer engineering and received his PhD in quantum computing from the University of Southern California. After returning to China, he founded TerraQuanta, a geospatial analytics startup that uses artificial intelligence to access and assess climate-related physical risk data for various industries, including agriculture, forestry, weather forecasting, and finance. Alpha is listed on the 30 Under 30 Forbes China and received second place at the 2018 TechCrunch Shenzhen Startup Competition. Welcome, Alpha.
Hi, everyone. It's nice to be here.
Tell us about yourself and your company, TerraQuanta.
Thank you for your introduction. My name is Alpha Wang. I graduated from University of Southern California with education level quantum computing, machine learning, and data science. It's more of data science than physics. So we founded our company in 2017. We focus on digital twinning of the Earth. Using machine learning, using deep learning, using supercomputing to recreate a digital replica of any particular area or the whole Earth into your desktop. Technology-wise, that's what we do. And been almost 5 years and several rounds of funding, and we are located in Beijing and Chengdu.
Thank you. What inspired you to start TerraQuanta? What problem are you trying to solve with this desktop application of that's mimicking the entire Earth?
Initially, we are trying to recreate Earth. We're trying to put Earth on the web, on the internet. And it sounds like Google Earth, but with many differences. Like we are trying to do weather predictions. We're trying to predict the yield of the agriculture. We are trying to monitor the deforestation, afforestation. What drives us initially is technology. We just want to realize, we just want to implement this technology and to see who wants to buy it. Initially, it's very interesting. We didn't get any customer that tells us what's their problem. That's the initial stage of our startup. But later on, like 2 years later, we realized that we have to monetize. We have to get revenue, solve real-world problems for our real clients. So we get into several sectors of our big picture, like forestry, like clean energy. That's the later story. But initially, we just want to create a cool, fancy technology that puts the Earth on the internet.
Tell us more about the various applications of your technology. How does it address climate change?
In regards to climate change, we all know that that's the greenhouse gases that drives the climate change. We have to reduce carbon emission and we have to increase the carbon sequestration, right? That's pretty straightforward. So how do we influence these two factors? In terms of carbon emission, we all know that clean energy is the future. 45% of the carbon dioxide is emitted from the fossil fuel energies. China is the biggest market of the clean energy in the world. I think it's more than United States and the European Union combined. So China is doing a lot, building a lot of the PV stations. But how can this digital twin of the Earth help in this clean energy? That is, there is a very small but important area called power predictions. We can predict 24 hours ahead or 48 hours ahead. From technology perspective, this is done from deep learning of weather predictions. We have a better weather prediction than other competitors in the market. And so we can predict the power more precisely to reduce the fines, because the clean energies, the wind farms integrated into the power grid, they have to provide a power prediction curve, because currently, due to the unstable nature of the wind and the solar, the power grid has to adjust the fossil fuel energy, like the coals, to the power output of the wind and the solar. So a power prediction curve, you have to provide it to the grid. So you can integrate it into the grid. We can provide this more precise power predictions because there's a fine if there's error in your prediction. And if the larger the error, the more the fine. So we can help them reduce this and in the end help the integration of the wind turbines and the PV stations. Another factor that is the carbon sequestration. We all know that the forests is the biggest source of a carbon sink in the ecosystem. So we did a lot to protect the forests. We monitor the national forests like once a month and to see which area that has the deforestation events or afforestation events. But mostly our customers care about deforestation because once there's a deforestation, mostly the customers are governments. The governments want to protect the forests. So we provide this monitoring system to see which area that has the deforestation and what's the cause. Is it natural cause or is it human being? And what we did is just two small areas in this big climate change topic.
So I assume you have a satellite or two. How does it work? How do you actually get the granular data from these various renewable energy assets and from the forest? What's the mechanism to kind of see what's happening?
Yes. So we use a lot of satellites. So first we're building our own, but currently we don't have our own. So we purchase satellite data from two sources. One is from the commercial providers like Maxar from the United States, ISAI from Finland. There are also a number of domestic in China. And the second is from open source data. For example, Planet open sourced their high resolution data in the tropical area to the deforestation monitoring in the Amazon forests. And also there are a number of open source data from CMA, the China Meteorology Agency, and from NASA. So we do use a lot of data sources, and doing this application requires a huge amount of satellite data. We're using probably close to 100 different satellites.
Right. So when I said one or two, it's more like many times that number.
Right.
So there are a lot of startups and even more mature companies that are in this climate risk analysis space. For example, there's 427, Orbital Insight in the United States. What is your competitive advantage?
We're trying to build this competitive advantage by, for example, Orbital Insight, they focus on the finance sector. They provide alternative data to hedge funds. There are also other companies that provide spatial analysis to specific sector. We're trying to provide a platform as a service and to developers to cover all areas that we can imagine. However, we can't do all the areas on our own. So we need other third-party developers to develop a more fine-tuned products based on our capability. We provide this supercomputing. We provide geospatial analysis, AI capability to our developers so that our other third-party developers can build their own app based on our ability. So they don't have to care about how to build a supercomputing center, how to tackle with the AI problem. They just need to know what's their customer needs and they can build upon it. So our model, a little bit different than the competitors you just mentioned.
Great, thank you. Over to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Marilyn. Alpha, thank you so much for going through your technology set and its various applications. And it's very interesting how you're pursuing a platform model. And in a way, you're looking to specialize the underlying technology, which is your AI and supercomputing, right? That's how you differentiate from the various others whose direct customers are finance institutions, insurance groups, right? You're trying to create more of a platform that everybody can come in, build separate applications for various sectors. Alpha, I want to really dive into your story. After graduating from USC, did you ever consider joining any of the big tech firms in Silicon Valley? Why did you choose to start your business in Chengdu?
I think I did consider doing something in the Silicon Valley. I was thinking that this idea, this putting Earth on the internet, I think this idea is so cool that I have to do it. And maybe I couldn't do it in Facebook and do it in Google, but I can do it on my own. When I was young, you know, when I have this idea, I just want to chase it and I want to make it into a reality. There's not much logical thinking into that. Maybe I should find a job first and work like 3 or 5 years and become more experienced and start my own. That's most entrepreneurs maybe are thinking, but I was too young then. This impulse of starting this business is driving me every night. So I just decided to do it. What are we afraid of? So the Chengdu government reached out to us. If you want to start a business in Chengdu, they can provide some funds. And I thought, yeah, why not? So that's why we decided to relocate to Chengdu.
I commend you on the clarity of your vision. I can tell you that a lot of people like myself who graduate from college who don't have a lot of clarity in what we want to do next. So kudos to you. But also having Chengdu invite you to start your own business, that's a motivation factor. Do you see a lot of other cases like this as well? I've heard many governments, subnational governments, inviting overseas Chinese to come back and build their own businesses. Do you see that as a trend?
After our relocation to Chengdu, we do see some governments like Hangzhou government, like Shanghai, provide office space funding to entrepreneurs to ask them to back to China and build their own business. If that's a trend, I'm not sure. A lot of governments were doing that back in like 2017 to 2020.
Got it. Is there any specific reason why you also opened an office in Beijing?
A lot of customers are based in Beijing. That's the first reason. Customers are insurance companies or hedge funds or the bank industries. So mostly based in Beijing or Shanghai. And the second reason is the venture capitals are mostly based in Beijing and then Shanghai. Third reason is data source. We do use a lot of satellites. And the source providers are mostly based in Beijing, but we still have a huge presence in Chengdu.
Those three reasons are enough reasons to open an office in Beijing. So on to my next question. TerraQuanta has received investment from both private capital, such as Decent Capital, as well as local government funding. Can you share with us the difference between these two sources of capital?
Strictly speaking, I wouldn't categorize the local government funding the same as the decent capital, the venture capitalist, because they don't ask too much in return. They just want to see you grow. And as for venture capitalist, of course, they want a particular share in your company. That's what they want in return. But still, like the government, they give the startups a lot of support, like introduction to new customers, like introduction to new resources.
That makes plenty of sense, Alpha. And I know that you participated in the TechCrunch startup competition in Shenzhen. Was that where you met Decent Capital? Because I know one of the founders or managing partners of Decent Capital used to work for Tencent, right?
Right. But no, that's not where we meet the Decent Capital. They were showing great interest in our business. We were still at their early stage, and they, by a friend introduction, we met the Decent Capital.
Great, Alpha. Two more questions on my side. Are you raising right now? If so, what round?
We are considering to raise funding later this year, but because of the, you know, the COVID situation, there's a lot of impact on our fundraising activities. So we would probably raise our Series B later this year.
Got it. Thank you for that. Can you share with us a specific case study involving a customer that you service and what problem were you addressing?
In the Mongolia area, I forgot the specific location, but in that area, they were building wind farms, land wind farms, in these onshore wind farms in those areas. Last year, they were fined like 30% of total output because of your instability. The wind is too unstable in that area, and your prediction is just too unreliable. And the power grids has to pay a lot of other price to cover your instability or your unstable predictions. As of now, we've testing for 3 months and lowered the fine to like 5% of total revenue. So it's a huge step forward for them because last year they have to pay 30% of their total revenue. So I think that's a very interesting example of what we're doing. And of course, the power grid is happy. They don't make money from fines. They make money by transporting power to their customers. And they were very happy to see it's getting more and more precise. It makes their job much easier. Everybody is happy about accurate, more precise power predictions. And that source of happiness is from technology, from innovation. So I think this case is it's a very interesting case to share.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think the source of happiness also comes from cost saving. So fantastic storytelling on that. I was at a solar farm in Ningxia just in February, and there was a 20 megawatt solar farm. And because the winds were blowing so aggressively, that solar farm had to essentially cut off their power for about 4 hours from 12 to 4 p.m. And so once they turn off the system, they're losing money, right? I could definitely see the application of your technology in scenarios like this. Alpha, is there anything you'd like to share with our audience?
The global economy is going through a difficult time. So maybe don't lose your heart or don't lose your passion, and still be optimistic. And we are very optimistic about the economy, although many experts say otherwise. So by quoting a famous quote that the best way to predict the future is to make it happen. So there's still a lot of work that we can do. So I think that's be strong during this difficult time.
Alpha, thank you for your optimism, your hope, your brains behind this, your technology. We need more climate champions like you in China and around the world to keep pushing this out there and ensuring that we have a fast and quick clean energy transition. So Alpha, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So Andrew, you have a background with Terra Quanta, work with New Energy Nexus. What did you think of their story and what they're doing in the marketplace?
He's got a very interesting story. He educated both in China as well as California, received his PhD in quantum computing at USC, and bring those ideas and technologies back to the mainland to build his own startup. I don't know a lot of entrepreneurs that have that type of clarity once they graduate, to be honest. He seemed like he was very inspired and committed to building his own company and doing something on his own. So I commend him for that. He's also been accepted into our Excel Accelerator Cohort 3. So, you know, we'll be working with him and introducing him to a number of renewable energy companies throughout our accelerator program. So we're really excited about that. I also think he brings not just a domestic lens, but a global lens on climate change. I think the work that he does, it transcends borders, you know, forest monitoring, land use, power predictions. I mean, this is work that is done all over the world. And there's a collaborative effort and dynamic, I think, in this industry, especially climate risk analysis. And I look forward to seeing what he builds next. And as he builds out the platform as a service, I'm curious to see the various other third-party applications that are derived from this.
Right. And I was surprised to learn that there's a fine for renewable energy generators if their model or predictions do not match the reality.
I'll be honest, I did not know that either. And so his case study regarding the wind farm and doing more accurate predictions and reducing their fines from 30 to 5% is a significant business case for a lot of these companies. And so as we further our collaboration potentially with companies like Terra Quanta, I'd really like to see them work with tons and tons of these renewable energy companies. And I'd also want to see more and further dive into his competitors. Like he said, there are other people in the space doing the same work, but perhaps specializing in different sectors, whether it's agriculture, water pollution, or financial forecasts, weather prediction. So I'd be interested to see what other companies in China are doing similar work.